House on Sunday, the 14th of February. Could I say right at the outset, congratulations to all our teachers, pupils, and parents. You've made it to half term. I'm sure there's a lot of very relieved teachers and pupils and parents after several weeks of difficult homeschooling. It's good to have this week's break. Folks, do join us after our service this morning. Join us for our virtual coffee time at 11:45 a.m. The meeting ID and passcode are up on this morning's webpage. So it's great to see more faces last week. Do join us at 11:45. Guy, thanks Stephen Woods for hosting our quiz on Friday night on Zoom. And thanks to everybody who took part in that. And congratulations to the Lockhart family who came first on this occasion. It was a tight race. The Johnsons had to settle for second place, but they still managed to get donuts this time round. Unfortunately, the Davidsons weren't able to keep up the pace. There wasn't enough questions to which the answer was either Harry Potter or Lord Voldemort. There just wasn't enough Harry Potter questions for some of our family. But it was a good night, and I think everybody was there thoroughly enjoyed it. Tomorrow evening at 8 p.m., we have Prayer Focus. And do join us at 8 p.m. on Zoom. Again, the meeting ID and passcode are on this morning's webpage. You'll find that below the details for the coffee time. The Zoom details are there for you. So do join us tomorrow evening as we meet for prayer. Could I remind you again about the voters list that was sent out with the bulletin? And for the last time, make this announcement. Should any member of the congregation who claims to be a voting member desire to make an objection regarding any name on the list or omitted from the list, then you need to lodge your objections with your reasons in writing and have that to Roger Thompson, our clerk of session, by next Sunday, 21st of February. I don't think Roger's received anything yet. I'm not anticipating anything, but following the laws of the church, I do need to say that. Again, could I appeal to you, do not return a copy of the nomination form for the elders' election yet. We're not at that point. Wait until you hear me announce that in the coming weeks. This Wednesday, the 17th of February, marks the beginning of Lent. As said last week, we got many copies of The Beauty of the Cross, a devotional book by Tim Chester, takes us through Isaiah 52 to 53, helping us to see how Jesus fulfilled every part of that prophecy. We got 80 copies. We only have a handful of copies left, but we have got more on order. And so if you haven't got a copy yet, we invite you to either collect one from the man's porch during any morning, or get in contact with me direct, and we'll get one delivered to your PW. Took quite a large number to distribute round their members, so it could be some of you will receive that if you haven't already in the next couple of days. But you can get in touch with me if anybody else is looking for a copy of that book. We join together to worship God. Paul writes this in Romans 5, you see, at just the right time, while we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, there are many things that we rely upon daily without giving these things much thought. We rely on water coming out of the shower as we prepare for the day. We rely on there being milk when we open the fridge for our breakfast. We rely on our car starting when we get in and turn the ignition key. But there's nothing we must be able to rely on more so than the love that you have for us in Jesus. And we want to praise you for the absolute reliability of that love this morning. And we praise you that your love for us is knowable. We don't have to guess. We don't have to live with uncertainty. We don't have to be paralyzed with fear. Because this is love, not that we loved you, but that you loved us and gave your Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. We praise you that there's no greater demonstration of love in all of history than the gift of Jesus on our behalf. We love you or anybody only because you first loved us and continue to love us in Jesus. Father, we praise you that your love for us is reliable day by day, and we're thrilled to know that your love drives out all fear of judgment and punishment. We no longer have to be afraid to die. We can live with the absolute assurance of heaven. Your love for us in Jesus is absolutely reliable, even as we face death itself. We praise you that Jesus has exhausted the penalty of our sin. We'll never be punished for our sins because Jesus took the punishment we deserve on the cross. So, Father, help us to know and to fully rely on the love that you have for us today. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We worship God as we join together in the words of "You were the Word from the beginning." What a beautiful name it is. Well, this is a family service today, boys and girls, young folks. There are no online resources there this morning. We're giving our leaders a rest as we come into half term as well, but we do thank them for providing those materials week by week. So we're asking everybody to share together as you watch or listen to the service at home. It's very hard to do a service like this without a congregation. Very hard to do it without children down at the front. Really miss those things. But boys and girls, do you know today's date? I mentioned it right at the start of the service. If you're not sure of the date, look to your mum or your dad. It's the 14th of February. Do you know anything significant about that date? Oh, well, Stephen jumped the gun there because it's already gone up. I saw it flash on the screen, so we'll just put it up again. It's the 14th of February. That is the day in our calendar that is designated as St. Valentine's Day. Sunday the 14th of February, today is St. Valentine's Day. What do people do on Valentine's Day? Well, they give gifts as an expression of their love. We maybe give cards to people, like the one that I have here. This was handed to me just before I left this morning. People give flowers on Valentine's Day. Now, these flowers that are beside me today, I didn't get those for Linda. Linda got those herself. And it's great to be reminded that spring is coming to see those daffodils. But I did get Linda other flowers that she has this morning. And sometimes people give gifts like this. Chocolate. I have got a box of Maltesers teasers. Now, those are going to have to go up in my high cupboard, because if I leave those sitting around in the manse, I'll not see very many of them at all. People give gifts on Valentine's Day. Ben, did you get any Valentine cards this morning? No. Sarah, did you get any flowers today?
No flowers.
No flowers?
Percy pigs.
Percy pigs. Well, here, you know, we know how difficult it is to get Percy pigs these days due to the EU protocol. So, you know, Andy was certainly thinking about you there. Stephen Woods, out the back, you get anything for Valentine's? No, Steve, you didn't get anything. Nothing at all. Did you get anybody anything?
No.
Okay, not good news in our youth worker's house. He didn't get anybody anything, and he didn't get anything either. We'll maybe have to look into that. But it is a day where people express their love to others, often by giving them a gift. You know, it occurs to me there's maybe a couple of husbands watching this morning who maybe forgot the significance of today's date. They're maybe wondering, even now, could they sneak out to the garage and be back without anyone noticing? Can I just say, if you're planning to do that, men, remember what Jamie McGuire told us. You'd better go to Marks and Spencer's. The flowers from the petrol station forecourt just won't cut it. Or if you have forgotten, maybe we can help you out today, because if you have any Valentine messages that you would like to send. We're happy to share them this morning. So what we're going to do is, and we're very serious about this, if you want to send any Valentine messages, then all you have to do is send those to hello@railwaystreet.org. So get typing those up, send those in. If we get any of those, then we'll share those before the end of the service. But do remember, when it comes to the content of those messages, this is a family service. Make sure they're appropriate, folks. But you can send those in to hello@railwaystreet.org. You know, I got to thinking when we put this into the calendar as a family service, I got to thinking about St. Valentine's Day and thinking, what's behind it? What lies behind it? This is a historian in me. I like to know where things have originated, how far back they go, how they got started. Is it just a case that today is a very clever marketing opportunity that has been designed between the card shops, the florists, and the chocolate makers? Is that all it is? How did it start? And who was St. Valentine anyway? Well, it turns out that there is a history, there is a story behind this day, and it's actually a Christian story. And it's a story based upon a real-life figure called Valentine. And we're going to watch a short video, not entirely accurate, but it gets the essentials of the story right. And this takes us right back to the beginning and introduces us to the historical figure of St. Valentine.
St. Valentine was a bishop who lived in the 3rd century in Rome. During his lifetime, the Roman Empire was crumbling down from the attacks of surrounding tribes. Emperor Claudius II, who ruled during the chaos, believed that marriage made soldiers weak. He issued an edict that forbade marriage to ensure the quality of his soldiers. The ban on marriage was a great shock. The kind bishop noticed the injustice of the decree. He held the law of the church and helped lovers who came to him, uniting them in a holy matrimony. But it was only a matter of time before the emperor heard about this friend of lovers and had him arrested. Valentine was imprisoned. While waiting for his sentence, his jailer, Asterius, approached him to use his saintly power and heal his blind daughter. Valentine succeeded, and her sight was restored. They became close and fell in love. After a while, the emperor issued a verdict. Valentine was asked to agree with the emperor about the ban on marriage, thus giving up his religion. Valentine refused. Just before his execution, Valentine asked for a pen and paper and signed a farewell message to his lover. "From your Valentine," a phrase that lived ever after.
So the first thing to note today is that St. Valentine's Day is grounded in history. There really was a man called Valentine who gave his name to the 14th of February, believed to be the day that Valentine died for his faith in Jesus Christ, for his refusal to follow the emperor's order when the emperor banned his soldiers from getting married. Now, the healing of the jailer's daughter, that had nothing to do with Valentine's saintly power. Of course, the power to do that could only come from Jesus himself. But there was a man called Valentine, and a man who stood for a message of love, a God-given message of love. And that's what this day then has traditionally become associated with, love. And love is a word that we often hear. Love is a word we often hear used by people. One of the things we hear people say often today is love." That's become a very catchy slogan, and it sounds good, but on its own, it's a meaningless slogan. Love is love doesn't mean anything unless we can define what we mean by love. What is love? Where does love come from? Well, let's listen to what the Bible has to say about love and where love comes from. Very pleased to have with me my one of my very helpful assistants from the first lockdown, who hasn't been on camera for quite a while now, but I'm going to invite Stephen to come and to read to us from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 11, that speak about love.
Dear Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another.
Thank you very much, Stephen. So if you were listening to that reading, and we could have picked many other readings that would have told us the same thing, the Bible says that love comes from God. Love comes from God. And love is defined by God because God is love. Love is an essential part of the very nature of God. God the Father loves God the Son. God the Son loves the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit loves God the Father. And so it goes round. One God, three persons bind together in that love for one another. But the really amazing thing is that God has also shown his love to us, to you and to me. Now, when it comes to human love, we are often drawn to people because there's something about them that attracts us to them. Maybe we think, oh, she's very pretty, he's very handsome. Or we see something as well in their character that is very attractive. And yet, when it comes to God's love for us, it wasn't the case that there is something inherently lovable about us. Far from it. God didn't love us because we already loved him, because the Bible says we didn't. Bible says our sin, our rebellion against God has separated us from him, and God cannot look upon sin. And so the real wonder of God's love is that he loves us despite our sin. He loves us despite our sin. As John, the disciple of Jesus, wrote in our reading, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. I think we've got a wee bit out of sync. I was hoping there was a verse. That verse was coming up there. Apologies. So love comes from God. There it is now. Love comes from God. And Valentine's Day is grounded in the love that God has for us. Valentine's Day is grounded in the love that God has for us. And so that means that the greatest Valentine any of us can receive is this. Next picture. There we go. Greatest Valentine any of us can receive is this. What is it? It's a cross. I know it doesn't look very pretty, like a rose or a lovely card, but it is beautiful because it represents the greatest love that any one of us can receive. It represents God's love for you and me in Christ Jesus. As Romans says, as Paul writes in Romans 5, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's the ultimate expression of God's love for us. He sent his Son into the world, and on the cross, his Son, the Lord Jesus, died for our sins. That's why the cross is the most beautiful Valentine that any of us have ever seen or any of us can receive, because Jesus is the one who loved us enough to die for us. And so today is all about expressing love, and love for others. But our love is grounded in the fact that the Bible tells us love comes from God because God is love. St. Valentine was a man who had experienced the love of God seen in Jesus Christ. And Valentine lived his life to serve Jesus as a minister of the gospel. And he wanted others to know and to share in the love that God had for them. And in particular, he wanted men and women to experience the joy of human love in marriage. And that's why he continued to perform weddings even when the Roman emperor had forbidden it, because Valentine knew that God had given marriage as a gift. And Valentine also knew that the marriage of a man and a woman is an illustration of the love that God has for us. Whenever we have a wedding ceremony in the Presbyterian Church, the minister always says this, that in the scriptures, marriage is commended as honorable and is seen as a symbol of the union which exists between Christ and his church. And that's based on what the Bible tells us, because in Ephesians 5, the Apostle Paul wrote these words, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless." The Bible teaches us that the church is Jesus' bride. And one day when Jesus comes back again, he's going to gather the church to himself, and there's going to be a wonderful wedding banquet in heaven, for the church will have been transformed into a perfect bride. Revelation 19, John wrote these words, "Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Then the angel said to me, 'Write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb.'" That's why Valentine, back in his day, that's why the church to this day attaches such importance to marriage, because it is the ultimate expression of our human love, and it is a picture of the love that Jesus has for his church. Husbands are called to love their wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for it. We love because God loves us. St. Valentine's Day is grounded in the love that God has shown us in Jesus Christ. He has given us the greatest Valentine in the cross where Jesus died for us. Wonder boys and girls, mums and dads, grannies and grandas, all members of our church family, do you think Jesus wants a Valentine from us? Yes, he does. He wants us to respond to his love, not by making him a card or giving him flowers or chocolates or something like that. He wants us to give our hearts and our lives to him, because after all, he gave his life for us. You know, sometimes our Valentine messages get rejected. I don't know, have you ever sent cards to somebody who has rejected your expression of love? Do you know, I can remember a couple of times when I was growing up where I sent a couple of cards to a couple of girls, but they didn't reciprocate in any way. Thanks, I got a sympathetic awe from somebody in our team this morning. Appreciate that. Do you know, that really hurt at the time, and if you've had that experience, you'll know that. But we can't make people love us. We can't make people love us. And God doesn't make anybody love him. He has shown his love for us. He has demonstrated that. It's up to us to respond to that. And sadly, many people reject God's love for them. They choose to ignore Jesus or not to follow Jesus. And that's what happened when Jesus came to earth. John tells us in his gospel, he came to those who were his own, but his own did not receive him. Many of his own people rejected him. But those who accepted and received his love, John tells us, he gave the right to become children of God. It's so important that not only that we know about the love that God has shown us in Jesus, but that we respond to God's love in Jesus. That we've opened our heart to receive Jesus as our Savior and our Lord. We're going to pause there for a few moments. It is a family service, and we do have some greetings to send out today to those who are part of our church family. First of all, birthdays. Apologies if any birthdays have been missed, but again, I'm relying on parents, especially out there, to send me a message when birthdays are coming out. But I have been told, and I'm very grateful to Hilary Milligan, who's very good at keeping me up with these things as best she can, that it was Seth Crawford's birthday on the 10th of February, I think, and that yesterday was Liam Finnegan's 7th birthday. So happy birthday to Seth and happy birthday to Liam. We also want to send our congratulations today to Catherine and Chris McAllister on the birth of a baby boy on Friday, who has been named Louis Henry Joseph. So congratulations to Catherine and to Chris and to Archie and Ellie on the safe arrival of baby Louis. You know, waiting for babies in railway streets, like waiting for a bus, you wait ages for one and then two come along in short succession. But it's great to hear that good news in these days, to share in that joy together. So let's come before God together in prayer. Let's pray. Our gracious God, again, we thank you that love comes from you, that you are love. And we thank you for every demonstration of your love to us, above all for the love that you have shown us in Jesus Christ, your Son. But we thank you too, Lord, for all your good gifts that are expressions of that love that you have for us. We praise you again for the gift of families and for the love of families. We give thanks for the joy of birthdays, for presents, for good food and cake and fun shared together with family and in normal times with friends too. And we give thanks for Seth and Liam and for their birthdays this week. And we pray, Lord, that they will have known happy birthdays despite the limitations that go with birthday celebrations in these days of lockdown. We pray that you would bless Seth and his family, his mum Claire, his dad Gordon, and his brothers Finlay and Angus. And we pray too that you bless Liam and his family, his mum Susie, his dad Dermot, and his sister Lydia, and his brother Adam. May they know your presence with them and your protection upon them. And may they know and experience the reality of your love for them in Christ Jesus. We want to praise you too, Lord, for the safe arrival of another baby in recent days. We give thanks, Lord, for the arrival of little Louis. And we pray for Catherine and Chris and Archie and Aaron and baby Louis for your blessing and protection upon them. And thank you for the joy that Louis's arrival has brought to them and to their wider family. Lord, we also want to give thanks with many this morning that we have indeed made it to half term. And we pray that this incoming week for teachers and pupils and parents will be an opportunity to rest and to recharge. We know, Lord, the pressures of homeschooling and just the real challenges of having been through these weeks since the start of the year, these weeks of homeschooling. Lord, we're conscious that lockdown is hard on everybody, and we're very conscious of how hard it is on our children and young people who miss school, who miss seeing their friends, who miss their normal activities. And so we pray, Lord, that the infection rate would continue to fall. We give thanks for the ongoing vaccination program as that continues to increase the number of people who have received those vaccinations. We pray that this will all lead to a situation where before too long schools will be able to reopen once again, that our young people will know the joy of being back with their friends in their classroom, and that teachers will know just the much easier situation of being able to teach face-to-face, and that parents will be released, Lord, from that onerous burden, Lord, of seeking to help with that homeschooling. Lord, we continue to pray for ongoing help and strength for all our health sector workers in these days, in our hospitals, in our GP centres, in those vaccination centres, in our nursing homes. Protect them, strengthen and keep them, we pray. And hear all our prayers, which we bring in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we've seen that St. Valentine's Day, it's grounded in history. It's based on a real person, on actual events. St. Valentine's Day is grounded in the love that God has for us. And thirdly and finally and briefly, Valentine's Day is grounded in the love that Christians are then called to have for one another. St. Valentine's Day is when people show others they love them in practical ways, as we've already said, by giving a card or by giving flowers or chocolates or some other gift, maybe making them breakfast in bed, cooking them a romantic meal, or even something as simple as giving them a kiss. We like to demonstrate our love in practical actions. And John didn't only write about God's love for us, he then used that love as the basis for his command to call the Christians he was writing to and calling us today to love one another. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Before Jesus went to the cross to demonstrate the love that he had for us, he said this to his disciples, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this will everyone know that you are my disciples if you love one another." God has demonstrated his love in action. Jesus died for us on the cross. And in response, Jesus calls his followers to love each other in the church, recognizing that in the church we are family, we are brothers and sisters in Christ, and recognizing that the church is the bride of Christ. And after the cross, the greatest witness to the world of the reality of Jesus' love for them is the fact that those who follow him love one another. Now, being honest, it's always the case that there are some people in the church we find it easier to love than others. That's just the way it is. In the church, we come together with different personalities, with all our quirks and foibles. Some people in the church we naturally gravitate to because they're like us in ways. Other people in the church, we maybe don't find them as easy to love. Maybe in all honesty, we find they really annoy us in some ways. But the truth is, these are our family, just like our biological families. This is our family. We are brothers and sisters in the Lord. And so these are the people that God has commanded us to love. And so we need to be very careful that we don't speak ill of the church, that we don't speak ill of people who belong to our church, because as Jesus would very quickly remind us, that's my wife you're speaking about. We are called to love one another as Christ has loved us. And God has shown us what that love looks like. That love is generous. That love is sacrificial. And so we're called to show that same generous, sacrificial love to always seeking one another's best, always being prepared to serve one another, to do what we can to help one another and to encourage one another. And I believe that our church family is good at showing love to others. Now, we've got to be honest, that hasn't always been the case. There was a time in even recent years where our congregation had a reputation not for loving one another, but for disagreeing with one another. I trust and hope those days are behind us. But that was a painful time for many people, I know that. And I hope that we are much better known today as a church where the members love each other and show that in practical ways. And that love has been expressed during these long, difficult days when we've been unable to meet together. And I dearly miss us being able to meet together. I dearly miss seeing this meeting house filled with your faces. But in our church family, we have been seeking to show that love to one another, whether it's through phone calls or messages, whether it's through groceries being delivered or meals being cooked and delivered to those who need them, whether it's through cards and letters being sent. And I appreciated so much those cards and letters that I got following our bereavement. It's a joy to see that, and it's a testimony to others. When people see that love demonstrated, it has a powerful impact. I've been speaking to a man this week whose family have been experiencing the love of people in this church, and they are quite literally blown away by it. Blown away by it. They continually refer to that love and that kindness that their family are being shown in difficult circumstances. That's how it should be. There shouldn't be anything extraordinary about that. That is simply Christians fulfilling that call to love one another. And when we act like that, it bears witness to the reality of God's love for us. It warms the heart of our Heavenly Father, and it is a powerful witness to a broken world. And it draws people into the church, where they then discover and experience the love that God has for them. We are called to love one another as Christ has loved us. And so today there's only one application question for you. Only one application question this morning, and it's this. What will you do to show someone in the church that they are loved? What practical action can you take this week to show at least one other person in our church family that they are loved? Let's think about that just for a moment. Happy Valentine's Day. This is a day grounded in history. It's grounded in the love that God has for us in Jesus Christ, and it's a day grounded in the love that we are called to have for one another. Let's pray together. Gracious God, again, we praise you because you are love. And you have demonstrated your love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We thank you that this day today, it's grounded in history. We thank you for this man, Valentine, who bore witness to your love for people in Jesus Christ. We thank you that it's a day that is grounded in the love that you have for us. And it's a day that is grounded in the love that you call us to have for one another. May we be those who have experienced your love. And as a result of that, are given a love for one another. And may we look for ways that we can demonstrate and show that love these ongoing, challenging days in which we are living. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Any Valentine's messages? Oh, we do. Okay. Right. Are these going to come up? From Stephen to Fiona Johnston. Roses are red. Violets are blue. Rangers are awesome, and so are you. Okay, I happen to know for a fact that Stephen Johnson is sitting down at the front of the church operating the front camera, and there's no way he got that message down to the back, so I think there's been a bit of creativity going on with other members of the Johnson family and Stephen Woods. To Ben Nelson from A Secret Admirer, okay. Happy Valentine's Day, kiss, kiss. Oh, isn't that lovely, right? From Judah to Emily. Okay, so this is Judah Woods to Emily Wall. Roses are red, violets are blue. Your dad should start saving because I sure love you. Okay, thank you. Thank you so much. Oh, look. That is beautiful. That is beautiful. Thank you so much for... One more. Oh, from Richard and Yvonne Clements. Happy Valentine's Day. We are thankful for the greatest love of God, Father God's love for us. And the people of God in Railway Street said amen to that. Our new grandson, Harry, in Liverpool, 3 weeks old today. And we trust and pray. Oh, look, isn't that beautiful? And we trust and pray for Richard and Yvonne. It'll not be too long before you'll be able to meet them in person. Thank you for those messages, folks. We're going to close our service as we sing together, I'm Forgiven Because You Were Forsaken. My thanks again to all who have been taking part this morning, whether in front of the camera or behind the cameras. We couldn't do this without our team who facilitate this week. To week, and thanks to all of you who've been joining with us today. Don't forget then our virtual coffee time, 11:45, Zoom details on the webpage, prayer focus tomorrow day at Zoom details again on the webpage. Let's join in the words of the grace. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.